Back in March, I had a conversation with two Italian doctors. Around that time, the U.S. had just about 1,000 people testing positive for the coronavirus. We weren't sheltering in place, public events were yet to be canceled, and we had no idea what was yet to come. But the doctors had an idea, and they shared their experiences with us. They were from the Italian province of Lombardy, one of the first places in the world after Wuhan, China, to be devastated by the virus. They warned us that they were on track to run out of everything, ventilators, hospital beds, and doctors. I asked Dr. Stefano Fagiuli back then if a total shutdown was the right solution. He said definitely yes.
Of course, all those things, schools, meetings, universities, sports events, movies, it's part of our life. We don't want to give it away. But in this moment, we should put it on hold because this is the strongest way to reduce the spread of infection.
Stefano Fagiuli is head of the medicine department at Papa Giovanni Hospital in the city of Bergamo. And he joins us again. And doctor, welcome. First of all, tell us how you're doing. Last time we spoke, you had just been diagnosed with COVID-19. How has your recovery been and how are you?
Well, hearing, listening to my voice, I just remind me how terrible was that period. I was short of breath and I had a low saturation, pain all over my body. So it was not such a good period, but it was only 1 week. Then I started feeling a little bit better. I was just tired. And eventually my swab came back positive. And from the beginning of April, I was just back to work and it was tough, but we made it.
Yeah, you made it. You talked to us back in March about the state of your hospitals, and back then you were overwhelmed. You were afraid of running out of supplies. What has happened over the last 2 months?
Well, I have to tell you that the initial help coming from all over has been truly amazing. Nurses and physicians, people were coming from different part of the country. We had some people coming from abroad. We got a lot of donations to the hospital, and we were able to face all the need and all the situation. And around the end of March, we got to the top level of occupancy for COVID patients. We had over 600 patients out of 750 beds. That was the terrible month. Truly a nightmare.
My goodness. What is the hospital like now? Do you have everything you need now? We're now in mid-May.
No, now we are actually, we have already started the recovery process. The profile of the patients have profoundly changed. We no longer see COVID-19 pneumonia patients. We see patients with our usual medical or surgical complication, which incidentally are COVID positive, so we have dedicated a special pathway for them. And so we are actually under 100 patients with COVID. We have no patient on CPAP ventilation. The hospital has started rebuilding the outpatient activity, of course. So it's slowly recovering, and we are in the process that we are building up our old activity. So that's the main goal that we have.
You mentioned the help that you received, the Russians. We were reading in the Italian newspapers that Russian doctors came to help in Bergamo and a field hospital that your doctors worked at. But I want to talk to you a little bit about the European Union and your European neighbors. Do you feel they did enough to help Italy when you were in the heart of this crisis?
Well, you know, the interesting part is that at the time that I sent my message around, I got phone calls from all over Europe, and they were all volunteering to come and give and help. So that was fantastic. The point is that 1 week or 10 days later, most of the European country, they were picking up with their own emergency. So a number of those people, they say, well, we have organized everything to be there. They send me the papers and stuff, but I can't no longer come because I need to work in my own
focus
hospital.
On home.
So that,
yeah.
that was in, but it was absolutely amazing how many people participate in that. I mean, I have in front of my eyes a very nice message one lady from the United States sent me, wishing the best to our hospital and our people. And she sent some masks that we are actually using for the people in my unit. And she said, you know, I have a few of them, but please, I'll do it with all my heart. And I keep the message in front of me because she was absolutely fantastic.
Yes, yes. Well, let's talk a little bit about the United States. As we heard the last time you tried to warn us, you said, wash your hands and stay home. Do you feel like the U.S. heard your message? Or, as many say here, did we act too late?
Well, you know, I've been thinking to all of this for quite a long time. To be honest, I have to say that a lot of people is trying to look for the guilty guy in any nation, in any area. And I think that it is not correct because it is very difficult to decide which is the proper moment in which you have to shut down a whole country. And if you see the outcome of these outbreaks around the countries, if you set the beginning of the outbreak at the same point, at the same ideal point for every country, you can see that the curves are absolutely identical. So when we were talking last time, I was telling you, I would shut down anything now that you have basically no cases. But I can understand how difficult it is. I mean, you have to see that you are facing the problem. But when you see that you're facing the problem, it's late.
Well, now we're in the process of some states here in the U.S. beginning to reopen. Do you think now is the right time for that, if we're thinking about the timeline of where you are and where we are?
Well, you know, the true issue is we can't speak of a country, because there are areas in my country in which there are zero cases in the last 20 days or 1 month. I think it needs to be a local, very well evaluated process, and if you have low number, opening with very much cautious people. We need to keep an eye on possible reinfection because we need to be ready to change our mind. It is what we're trying to do, tracing people and tracing the isolated positive people and trying to reopen, because if people can't have an income and this goes on for a long time, they will have less access for their personal care, for medication, for health care. It's going to be a true disaster. The people who are lucky, like myself, I have a job. I have been earning my money even if, when I was sick. And so it's an easy life for me. And I need to be available for helping people that might not have been that lucky. So, you know, if you are living in an area and you are the only lucky guy, you're not going to last long.
Right, right. You know, these are concerns that we all have, and you sound very optimistic for our future, but also very cautious. How have these past few months changed you?
Well, I'm actually kind of changing my mind these last days. I had the impression that these terrible tests that we got would have changed positively our attitude, going back to reality and back to normal life. I got the impression that selfishness and individuality, we are going back to that pretty quickly. It's not a good sign, because this is going to be a much more difficult period than 2008, 2009, much more difficult. And we need to set aside personal ideas, you know, political parties and stuff. We need to work together. And I'm not seeing going in that direction, honestly, at least not in my country, which is something that I hate.
Yeah. I thank you so much for this update, Dr. Stefano Fagiuli, head of medicine at the Papa Giovanni Hospital in Bergamo, Italy. Thank you so much.
Thank you to you. Hopefully we can talk to each other when COVID is just a memory and we can speak only about a brilliant future.
That's a promise for sure.